الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا ظهر الزنا والربا في قوم فقد أحلوا بأنفسهم عذاب الله أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected Ulama Ikram, brothers and elders, Allah Ta'ala has ordained on us purity, deen. Our beautiful deen of Islam is on the foundation of purity. The most important purity is the purity of the heart from kufr and shirk. If this impurity gets left in a person, that he has the impurity of kufr or shirk in his heart, and Allah forbid he leaves his world in that condition, with that impurity of shirk and kufr, then he is doomed forever. Is no way there will be any salvation. That impurity is of such a level that will take a person to Jahannam forever. Allah save us. And then all the other various levels of purity and taharat are extremely important. The Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, At-tuhuru nisful iman, shatrul iman, half of faith. So even the purity of the body, of the clothes, person performing salah, if there's no purity, that salah won't be fulfilled. So all these things are extremely important. Together with that, those things that soil the heart, one is kufr and shirk, which we already discussed, soil the heart and then make so many other things impure also. That has been cautioned against, warned against in a very severe manner. And some of these have been described as the worst sins. Now sins are of various levels. One is to swear at somebody is a sin, and obviously a very serious sin, which is taken very lightly, but it's a serious sin. Sibabul Muslimi Fusuq. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, swearing at a Muslim, this is a sin, very severe sin. But then worse than that will be to assault him. And even worse than that, far worse than that will be to commit murder, kill somebody. So there's different levels. So there are some sins which are known as the kabair, and then some which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described as the akbarul kabair, the worst of the major sins. Now among the many major sins, and among the worst of the major sins, is the sin of zina. And this is such a severe sin. To understand the severity of the sin, then the punishment that has been will be meted out for a person in this very dunya, if he is found guilty of this crime and this terrible sin of zina, is that if he was an unmarried person, then 80 lashes. He'll be flogged, 80 lashes. And if he was a married person, then the severity of it is clear from this, that such a person will be stoned to death. That's how major this sin is. That it's meant to be a deterrent for anybody. And therefore Allah Ta'ala says, وَلْيَشْهَدْ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This punishment must not be meted out somewhere quietly. It must be done in the presence of the public. Everybody must witness it. They must witness what happened now. What was the outcome? What was the consequences? So this is the punishment that is in dunya. If a person left this dunya without tawbah, Allah knows best what's awaiting in the akhirat. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has warned us against sins. The most important aspect in a mu'min's life is what is repeatedly discussed in the Quran Sharif, the command that has come more than any other command. And that is the command of taqwa. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, ittaqullah. Repeatedly Allah Ta'ala commands in the Quran Sharif that adopt taqwa. Taqwa is all about refraining from Allah's disobedience. At any level, Allah's disobedience. No way it comes that the person who has performed the most amount of hajj, he is the closest to Allah Ta'ala, or he will even succeed. The person who performed the most amount of umrah, person who was the most charitable, person who did the most amount of dini effort, and he spent most amount of time serving deen, all these things are tremendously great, but nowhere in the Quran Sharif it comes that success depends on this. Success depends on taqwa. If a person is performing hajj after hajj, but he doesn't refrain from sin, then he's nowhere close to success. If a person is dedicating his time to deen, but at the same time is continuing with haram and indulging in disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, he's nowhere close to Allah Ta'ala. The most important aspect is taqwa. And together with taqwa, the more a person enhances it with all the good deeds, he's now got a lot of passion for salah, for nawafil, he engages himself in tilawat, in zikr, in serving deen, in spending time in the efforts of deen, and being charitable, and whatever other good deeds there are, then alhamdulillah, this is nurun ala nur. The most important thing is taqwa. And the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, this breaks that taqwa. And among the worst levels of this disobedience of sin is zina. And this has an impact on this insan in so many ways. It impacts on his dunya, on his akhirat. In dunya, it impacts on his mind, it stunts his thinking. Sins become a blockage in a person's thinking as well. He can't think straight. That's why he does things which become so destructive. Sins become a means of great amount of zulmat in the heart. It darkens his heart, engulfs his heart in this darkness, as a result of which he is constantly miserable. Now he'll want to try to keep amusing himself in some way, pacifying himself in some way or the other, trying to find some kind of enjoyment in something or the other, but that zulmat is inside the heart. These external things can't give that happiness in the heart when that heart is engulfed in this darkness. So it stunts his thinking, it puts his heart in turmoil, and then it affects his rizq. Sins become a barrier to a person's rizq coming. One hadith sharif is mentioned that the rizq is being descended, the person gets involved in haram and it gets taken away. So now there's so many different things that happen, so many consequences for sins in general. Zina has been described as among the worst of sins, worst of the major sins. Now what level of destruction comes through this? So in any case, in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala doesn't command that don't commit zina. Because this is such a dangerous sin. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't even go close to zina. Don't get anywhere close to it. Because getting close to it, then you'll drop yourself into it. Fall into the evil. So Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ. Don't even get close to it. How does a person get close to zina? By means of getting caught up in those things that lead to it. So there are many things that Shariat has placed boundaries and barriers to protect this insan from this terrible crime. Among the things Allah Ta'ala has placed this barrier, and these barriers are safeguards. These barriers are means of protection. When a person is now driving on some road, and then someplace there's a barrier now, you can't get close to this. Why? Because if he gets close, there's a big, huge ditch there. If he does not respect that barrier, then he'll fall into that. that might be the end of his life. Likewise, these barriers, if they are not respected, Allah forbid, a person can put his iman in serious danger. So in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala has placed the barrier, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. First barrier, first safeguard, first safety rail. Say to the believing men to lower their gazes. Don't look around at haram. Don't cast lustful glances around. Don't look at evil on the phone. And this applies to men and women. In the next ayat, Allah separately addresses women. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ. Because this wrong glance is opening the door of shaitan. This haram glance will take a person, they say, a stepping stone. This is a stepping stone. And a terribly huge leap it will take. Allah forbid. So in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Allah Ta'ala says that this haram glance is a poisonous arrow of shaitan. Poisonous arrow. And the one who will forsake it, Allah will grant him the sweetness of iman in his heart. So now if he doesn't forsake it, if he forsakes it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, he restrains himself, he does not succumb to that temptation, then this brings such a great benefit that the sweetness of iman will come in his heart. But if he does not protect himself, he succumbs to it, he's now watching all that evil and filth. So what will be the opposite? If this is how great the reward of that mujahada is, of refraining from the haram glance, falling into it will be equally severe on the opposite side. How great the good is, the opposite will be so much severe as well. So in other words, that poison of shaitan will be seeped into the heart. And the effects of that poison of shaitan is that it will kill the pleasure of halal. When a person gets caught up in haram, then one of the effects of this is that the pleasure of halal then gets lost. And now as a result, he's looking for more haram outside. The halal Allah blessed him inside, that is not good enough for him. He's looking for haram outside. But the root issue is that he got himself involved in haram, which took away this pleasure of ibadat, took away the pleasure of halal that Allah blessed him with. So this is the first safeguard Allah Ta'ala placed. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. And when a person protects his gaze, then the noor that settles in his heart, that noor becomes a means of illuminating that heart. That heart feels true happiness in the simple things of life. In the simple ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala blesses a person, which is not small, these are very great, but it might not be such luxurious things, but in those simple things he will enjoy that taste which people of sin can't get in all their luxuries. Their 5-star and 7-star luxuries also, what they can't get in that, one fraction of it they can't get, he'll get in the simple things of life that Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with. He'll enjoy this life. There'll be that peace. It starts off in the heart. If the heart is in turmoil, nothing will taste good. And sin puts a heart in that turmoil, snatches away the peace of the heart. The second safeguard that Allah Ta'ala has placed, that there'll be no free intermingling. There'll be no intermingling between the genders. Wherever this might be, whether it is in some wedding or walima, whether it is some social function, whether it is just in a family situation, whether it is in the business, wherever it might be, but no intermingling. And this message and lesson has been given to us in such a way in the Quran Sharif, where Allah Ta'ala addresses the Sahaba-i-Kiram regarding the Azwaj Mutahharat, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the Ummah. Allah Ta'ala addresses the Sahaba, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِوَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. If you ask the Ummahatul Mu'mineen for something of need, you have to inquire something, whatever, you will do so from behind the curtain, behind the veil. There won't be any direct communication. Now who is being addressed and about who? The purest of people of this ummah, nobody after them can come anywhere, one fraction to the level of their purity. And Allah Ta'ala says, you maintain this. Don't ever cross this. Don't transgress beyond this. Because if you cross this line, Allah forbid, there'll be fitna. Allah Ta'ala addresses these personalities and says, ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنْ. This is purer for your hearts and their hearts. So in the 20th century, somebody says, my heart is more clean. So he's deceiving himself. Or if he's not deceiving himself, then shaitan has put him in a deep deception. So to maintain this, this which is termed as parda, or whatever other description we want to give it, this is from the Quran Sharif. It's not anybody else's imagination, somebody just decided from his own side, some cultural thing. No, this is Allah's kalam. And Allah Ta'ala says, "Min wara'i hijab," you'll maintain this hijab, this separation. Hijab is not what sometimes people tend to just describe, that scarf on the head as hijab. The scarf on the head is not hijab. That's one item of the clothing of hijab. That a woman has to cover herself in a certain manner. If she's appearing, going to be leaving, then how much she has to cover herself, that's another whole detail. Hijab is the separation of the genders. And there'll be no intermingling. Whereas unfortunately nowadays, how often this happens, that a person, mashallah, wants to keep up to this, wants to maintain that hijab, but now he's invited to some family function, whatever other occasion it might be, but everything's all mixed up. So he can't get mixed up, because he's going to get mixed up with shaitan then. Because shaitan's influence is going to be there. So he decides to refrain, so he becomes the one breaking family ties. So who's breaking Allah's command? Those who are breaking Allah's command are breaking family ties also. Because they're not allowing space for those who want to stay on Allah's deen. Say, sorry, no place for you here. You want to practice on Allah's deen, then you go somewhere else. There's no place for you here. Here this law of deen is going to be trampled. You will also trample it, then come. Now nobody says it in so many words, but that's the sum total of it. That if you want to practice on deen in its totality, you want to uphold the law of hijab, then sorry, we can't accommodate you. And not just sorry, we can't accommodate you, we'll accuse you of breaking family ties. So the upside down situation. One person, he broke into some house late at night, and then somehow people got to know, so they made a noise, so he also jumped out of the house quickly. And now as everybody is shouting now, there's a thief, there's a thief, he started shouting even louder than everybody, there's a thief. So nobody's attention went to him, because he's shouting so loudly, there's a thief, the thief must be somebody else. So likewise, those who trample Allah's commands, they shout loudest. What's wrong with you and what you're up to? So that the attention is gone from them. So Allah Ta'ala is the knower of everything, and Allah has full qudrat and power of everybody and everything. This dunya is a place of tests. Yes, somebody who wants to remain steadfast on deen, he'll have to sometimes bear this, make sabr, that he'll be declared whatever, he'll be called some names, but he must not break his relationship with Allah Ta'ala. So in any case, this is the second aspect. Min wara'i hijab. And the third aspect, among many others, but these three main aspects, the Sharia has forbidden any seclusion with a non-mahram. Any seclusion. Whether that seclusion is in a home, in an office, somewhere in the business place, in a car, people say, well, I was just giving somebody a lift. Wherever it might be, the Hadith Sharif says, when there's a strange man and woman in seclusion, and strange, any two people who it is permissible for them to be married, whether now or later, that's strange. If they're in seclusion, the third present day is shaitan. And shaitan's only job is to create fitna and to incite haram. So when two people are in seclusion who are not mahram, then the third present is shaitan, and that's shaitan's full-time job. So therefore, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade this. So this is Allah Ta'ala saying, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't even get close to it. All these are the safeguards Don't cross these lines, otherwise you're going to get close to it. And why not don't get close to it even? وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَا. Fahisha, the meaning of fahisha, Abdullah ibn Abbas explains, the worst of the major sins. The biggest of the major sins. As explained earlier, different levels of sin. Major sin, this is right at the top of it, among those that are worst. And what is the issue of this? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَا, number one, that is the worst of the major sins. How severe? So in one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that لَا يَزْنِ الزَّانِي حِينَ يَزْنِي وَهُوَ مُؤْمِن. Person doesn't commit zina and remains mu'min at the same time. Another hadith further elaborates on it. That is, أَزَنَ الْعَبْدِ خَرَجَ مِنْهُ الْإِيمَانِ. When a person gets involved in this disgusting sin, then iman leaves him. That's the literal translation of this hadith sharif. خَرَجَ مِنْهُ الْإِيمَانِ. His iman leaves him. When he stops this disgusting act, the iman returns to him. Iman cannot tolerate being with him at that time. This is such a terrible situation. Iman says, I can't be here. So to say, that's the literal meaning of it. Now the fuqaha and the muhaddithin will explain thereafter of what is the detail behind it. But this is the literal meaning. So now this is how severe it is. Therefore Allah says fahisha. The terribly disgusting thing. And now when these safeguards will be transgressed, when a person will cross these lines, Allah forbid he'll fall in that fahisha. And Allah says, وَسَاءَ sabila. It's a very evil path. Very evil path, because a path of destruction. It destroys a person's dunya. Among the first things that it will destroy is the peace of his heart. It will destroy it. And it will be outwardly some kind of thrill he'll get, but his whole life will be in a turmoil. You can write it down. And the last thing to do is, person wants to really see whether he's genuine, they want to try it out. Because don't try it out. You have to face the bad consequences of it. Terrible consequences. Allah says a destructive evil path. When Allah says it's an evil path, what doubt can there be about it? That's an evil path of destruction. It'll destroy a person's peace of mind. As mentioned earlier, that the zulmat that comes in the heart, the darkness that comes in the heart, at any level, the eyes being misused is zina as well. Zina al-ayni an-nazar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, misusing the eyes is zina. وَزِنَ الْيَدِ الْبَطْشِ. The zina of the hand is that haram buttons that he's pressing. Whichever haram is touching. Half his night is gone in zina of the eyes and zina of the hands. He's texting haram all the time. He's involved and he goes to sleep with that zina. Allah forbid moth comes in that condition, then what? What kind of end the person will meet? So it's a destructive path. It'll destroy his family. Shaitan will, number one, teach him how to so-called cover his tracks. And after Shaitan gets him involved in the worst, then Shaitan will expose it to others also. Because then this is where the Shaitan's first prize will come. And his first prize, as mentioned in one hadith sharif, that the first prize of Shaitan is to break up a marriage. That is what is his first prize. When the smaller shayateen come to now give an account of what they did, so one shaitan comes and says, I caused this dispute between the couple to the point that eventually I brought it to the point of divorce. So Iblis stands up and embraces him. Says, you did something. So now this is the end game of shaitan. Get the person, either of the two, get them involved in some haram and then expose it. And then break the marriage. And then the biggest victims of that whole drama are the children then. So this is the evil path. One problem after the other will ensue. And a person's deen will be in destruction. His dunya will be in destruction. Allah forbid what not will happen. So Allah Ta'ala is warning us, don't get close to it also. The way of the Western way of life is that douse yourself in petrol. And then walk around close to the fire also, but just make sure you don't get burnt. Person is doused in petrol and now he's walking around. That person is doused in all the things that have incited him all the time. He's looking at evil. He's thinking all the time of evil. All this is dousing his heart in that petrol of sin. And then he's intermingling also. So what is not going to happen? What explosions are going to happen in that? And then he is now freely talking to whoever it wants, laughing and joking with anyone and everyone. Under the pretext of work, what kind of communication is taking place? And what kind of intermingling is happening? What kind of seclusion is taking place? Well, this is work now. Some consultation. He's in private spaces. And what fitna is ensuing from all this? So this is what Allah Ta'ala is warning us against. Wasa'a sabila. Look, this is a very evil path. Very destructive. Stay far away from it. Don't get anywhere close to it. The most important thing, with all these things that we've heard, if the heart is not connected to Allah Ta'ala, person will forget about all this too. And then he'll say, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. There's no bridge there, it's a broken bridge. He'll say, no, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. If the heart, there's no fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there's no consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, then a person, shaitan makes him forget everything at that time. And as it is, he's dousing himself with that petrol of temptations and inciting himself with all the haram, then Allah forbid, what's the outcome? We have to make that effort to fill our hearts with the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, to bring taqwa in our lives, to connect ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. This requires we put ourselves in environments of piety. We go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, be in the company of the pious, be in the company of those whose hearts are conscious of Allah Ta'ala, and keep ourselves out of the evil environments. This is the most important step in this whole process to keep oneself safe, is to connect ourselves with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi.